This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com. Oh, anyhow, this morning on WBOC, well, wasn't this morning, it was this afternoon. On Fox News, it was on national news. Anyhow, in Delaware Bay, they were showing, University of Delaware has a program where they do surveys of sharks and stuff in the bay. Well, they had a picture, and they actually had it on Fox News, of a, it was like looking down the mouth of a shark, and there was a little shark, a littler shark, inside the big shark, and then there was a fish inside the little shark. And what had happened was they were doing a survey, and the way they do a survey of how many different kinds of sharks there are in the bay and stuff like that, they put a bait fish on a hook, and they throw it overboard, and then after a while they pull it in and see what they got, right? And then they keep track of what kinds they're finding. Well, they caught a fish, and they started to pull it in, and as they were pulling it in,
it caught a fish.
So they had the bait fish, and then I forget what kind of shark, it was a smaller shark, bit that one and had it, and then a sand tiger shark, pretty good size one, ate that one, and they were all right, like mouth inside
of
mouth.
That's pretty neat.
Right? Anyhow, they had a picture of that on the news.
That's neat.
Well, that goes to show no free lunch.
No.
They showed off right.
They paid for that.
New England, you know, where the President's Day is, where
yep.
Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
They were showing kind of seals. There's so many seals, and the great whites are there. They can't even go, people can't even go in the water.
Yeah,
well,
the whites, the
great whites.
They live off the seals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, if you saw these sharks that she was catching, this one was called, the big one was called a sand tiger shark. A mouth full of teeth just sticking out everywhere. Man, whoa.
Well,
that's enough to keep me out of the water.
I was reading Time magazine a couple of weeks ago, and it showed how much money people make.
Yep.
And these divers that goes down for pearls, they go way down. And I think it was off the coast of Africa, I think. And they dive all day long for now get pearls, and the sharks are all around there. They're diving down right in between schools of sharks and everything.
Ooh.
And showed them.
Ooh.
Yeah, and said they those guys made $1,200 or $1,800 a day doing that.
You couldn't pay me to go down.
But they said sharks usually do not attack people.
It's short. Well, you tell the people that on the surfboards.
Well, they're after the surfboard. They're after the board. They think it's a turtle.
Oh, how about the swimmers that loses their legs and arms?
Well, most of them are on boards, though.
Well, I'm talking about the ones that's not.
The ones you're talking about, though, the uneducated sharks.
Yeah, that's what it is. They think it's a turtle.
Well, they have proven that the sharks do not just attack a human being.
If they're hungry.
Unless you're swimming at when they're feeding. They feed early in the morning or late at night.
Problem is, they don't give you the schedule.
Well, they tell you not, to go in the water early in the morning.
They ain't worried about me. I ain't
going to
be in there.
They ain't going to worry about me.
Smorgasbord.
That's their territory.
And I give it to them. You get those with big gongs and stuff like that. I was in some store a while back, and there was a whole bunch of people in there. And all of a sudden, I hear like Canadian geese flying, you know, and it's like, man, they must be really close, you know. And then I realized it wasn't real geese. It was somebody's phone.
Yeah.
It was their
cell phone.
Cell phone bell.
Well, my,
was these geese flying?
Yeah, well, my neighbor, the guy I play golf with, he's lives where I live. He retired from the railroad. He had 34 years in the railroad.
Yeah.
He loves trains. His phone is a train. And that first time I went off, I says, but where's the train? I mean, it's woo, 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 woo.
They want you to come back in, so they give you $10.
I'll be there.
He'd go here to Puerto Rico for $10.
Oh, yeah.
And burn $11
for
the gas ticket. And burn $11 for the gas ticket.
I think I still made a dollar.
Okay, everybody ready to get serious here? Okay, Romans 11, 16.
Yes.
Is everybody there? Everybody got it? Okay, now I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
When you read this, or at least when I read it in King James Version,
it is really easy to get confused and turned around. It just seems so, I don't know, disjointed or confusing just the way it's worded. You know, you're just not used to hearing the logic that way. So, I really found it confusing. So I got it in amplified right now, and whatever you guys got, we'll talk about this as we go. But basically, what he's talking about is the Jews and the situation the Jews themselves have created and how that's impacted God's relationship with them. And then he talks about the Gentiles and how God's blessed the Gentiles and that relationship with the Jews. Okay? That's basically what the discussion is. Okay? So we're in Romans 11:16, and it says, "Now if the first handful of dough offered as the first fruit, that's Abraham and the patriarchs, is consecrated or holy, so is the whole mass, the nation of Israel. And if the root, Abraham, is consecrated, holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off while you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them to share the riches of the root and the sap of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches and pride yourself at their expense. If you do boast and feel superior, remember it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you." That's Christ.
Yeah.
You will say then, branches were broken or pruned off so that I might be grafted in. That is true, but they were broken or pruned off because of their unbelief, their lack of real faith, and you are established through faith because you do believe. So do not become proud and conceited, but rather stand in awe and be reverently afraid. So the original olive tree is the Jews themselves, okay? The new olive tree are the Christians or the Gentiles, okay? And so I find the whole way this is worded very confusing myself. That's my personal opinion. But basically what he's saying is that the Gentiles are being shown to the Jews who have fallen away from God, and the Gentiles are a demonstration to the Jews of what they could have. Okay? So basically he's telling the Jews, he says, look, if you get yourself straightened out, you can have what they have.
But they didn't want that.
They didn't want it.
They didn't want salvation.
That's right. There were some that took it, but not many.
Well, one thing, Phil, that yours doesn't have the right word, and was verse 20. Yeah, the very last of it. It says, "Be not high-minded," but yours says, "Be afraid." It says, "Be not high-minded, but fear," and that fear doesn't mean scared or afraid. That fear means to be righteous, respectful of God. And yours doesn't say that. I'm only saying that because you say yours says be afraid.
Be reverently afraid. Maybe I didn't say it right. The word is to be reverently afraid.
Yeah, but it means just to be reverently. That word fear there is to be reverently in God.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it don't mean to be afraid, because you don't have to be afraid of God.
Yeah. And the second thing that he's really talking about here is, because we have Christ doesn't mean that we should belittle the Jews, but that we're a demonstration to the Jews of what they can have.
Of the power of God operating in us.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we have the gifts of the Spirit and all of this stuff acting with us, right? And we reach out and we touch people and we pray for people and they get healed and all the rest of the stuff. And basically what he's saying is, they could have it, but they just haven't taken it. And it's still open to them, even though they've backslidden, and 400 years ago, God withdrew his power from the temple, and all of this other stuff has happened. The Christians have been stood up in front of the Jews and said, hey, you had first shot at it, dudes, you know, and you've turned, you're the ones who have refused to receive it, but it's been offered to you, and it is still being offered to you. But it's on you.
Yeah, they have to accept it just like the Gentiles had accepted.
That's right.
See, Moses prophesied at first.
Yeah.
That it's going to go to the Gentiles. It's going to go to strange nations that they don't know. But they didn't know that's going to have to come to Christ. Christ had to be born, raised, and be the Jesus to Christ and bring it to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
They didn't know that back then because they didn't know it. And even way back in the Old Testament it says, what, as the Lord said, what is his name? And said, what is his son's name? And the Jews will deny that today, and they'll say that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
And they were saying your son's name will be Jesus the Christ, prophesied.
Yeah.
And they won't even do Isaiah chapter 11, is it? The one that said, and by his stripes ye were healed.
Oh, 53.
Yeah. 53:11.
Something like that, yeah. Okay.
So the branch meant we were adopted too.
Yes.
Right? That's right.
Grafted
absolutely.
In.
That's right. We've been grafted in. That's right. And that's what the whole branch thing is all about, is who's been grafted in and who's, the branches have been taken from the original olive tree, and now we're grafted into a new olive tree and all the rest of the stuff. It's all sort of examples or metaphors for the relationship God had with the Jews and with us, and how he's trying to encourage the Jews, still trying, I mean, all of these years later, he's still trying to encourage the Jews to receive Christ. And some are being saved, but not many.
But don't they believe that Jesus, that Christ is not born yet?
That's right.
Yeah.
They don't believe their Messiah.
Yeah, that's not here yet.
Yeah. Now, but the issue is for them is that there's a prophecy in the Old Testament, and I don't remember precisely where, that says that the Messiah will come before the rebuilding of the temple, the second rebuilding of the temple. Right?
Well, it said he had to come between.
Between the two temples.
After the temple was destroyed and it was rebuilt, and then he came. And then the second temple was destroyed.
Yes, yeah, right. So
but the temple points. It tells them he's going to be there, and they denied it.
That's right.
They missed him.
That's right. So that's already happened. So they need to understand themselves that they've missed the boat, that Christ was the only person who came in that period that fulfilled all the prophecy. So then, you know, you can't, and I heard a discussion with Jews about, there was actually a discussion with a Jewish Christian trying to convince Jews. He was at like a big meeting. And when he brought up the point about the temple, they just completely ignored it. Just didn't even want to talk about the fact that Christ had to have come. By the Old Testament, Christ had to have come already. Not that he's coming in the future. He's already been here and gone.
He's coming in the future too.
Well, he's coming in the future too, yeah. but it's going to be like too late.
The end.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, he's here right now.
That's right.
Huh?
He's here right now.
He always has been.
Yeah. So since he's here right now, the people that's waiting for him to come, and the way a lot of ministers are preaching it, he's going to come and he's going to judge you and he's going to send you to hell. He's going to... Christ don't send nobody to hell. You just can't go to heaven. If you die, you can't go to heaven. You got to go to hell because of the way you live. Not because he's mad at you. He was, the Bible says, God is love. He gave you every opportunity, every breath of opportunity.
He gave you a chance.
And if you don't accept that, it's not on him. But
yeah. All right, let's go.
I want to say one other thing about that for me, please.
Okay.
If the welfare people don't worry about tomorrow,
because
they're counting on the government,
yeah.
the human government, and they're in Obama's kingdom.
Yeah.
If we're in the kingdom of God, which is way above his kingdom, why should we worry? Yeah. You know, Jesus said...
Lord, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Really.
One thing Jesus said is very, very important, and through other... three times, I think it says, the just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, it says that in the Old Testament, it says it in the New Testament. Now, the just is the righteous, right?
Yeah.
He said the righteous shall live by faith. He didn't say the righteous shall live by fear. He didn't say the righteous shall live by scare tactics. He didn't say the righteous should live any other way. He said only one way. The righteous should live by faith. He don't give you no options to say, well, I don't believe that heals for everybody because I'm not healed. Heals for everybody. If I'm not healed, it's something that I'm screwing up within myself. It's not God. If you're not healed, it's something that you're screwing up within yourself. It's not God. Because he died on the cross, and by his stripes you were healed. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't say everybody except Phil or Ronnie or Peter or Pee Wee or Earl or anybody else we can think. He said, you're healed. He said, but you got to get in the Word and get that part out to where you learn it and believe it enough, because he said, your faith has made you whole. So when he said, you, the just, should live by faith. He doesn't say live by faith and fear tactics. He doesn't say live by faith and then say live by just any way you want to go. If you don't want to believe that, don't believe it. If you want to believe it, believe it. No, he don't say that at all. He said, you better live by faith. And we made it today. We're going to make it tomorrow. And when we was growing up, there was 14 of us. If we ate breakfast, we had to have faith for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear a minister like Girls talking about there for the TV. They'll tell you, if you don't send your money in, we're on by faith. If you don't send your money in, we're going off the air in your area. And that just shows that they're general, so people from all over the world send it in so they won't go off in their area. That's not faith. They got faith in you instead of in God.
Mm-hmm.
They say, you put your faith in God, we'll put our faith in you. That's wrong. So what you're reading here about the Gentiles,
yeah.
What Paul's telling them, they had to live by faith to believe that they're grafted in. They could have said, well, maybe we'll be, maybe we won't, but maybe we'll take a chance. Nah, I ain't going to take a chance. It's not by chance, it's by faith. And it's the only way God said, he said, you shall live by faith. No option. I think I'm all done.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
21-25.
For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature, unto a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happening to Israel, until the blindness of the Gentiles be come in.
Amen.
Okay.
26.
226, Rod.
And also Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
Okay. So eventually, the Jews are going to come around.
No.
No.
No. They will come around.
No. That's not what he's saying. Remember, it, when we studied this, and when we was in Romans, Corinthians, he said, let me read that so you'll get it. So all Israel shall be saved. He said that everybody that is in Israel is not Israel, but everybody that's seeking the Messiah and seeking to be saved will be saved. But if they choose not to be, they won't. And what he's saying was, all the Jews, and you can see where he says here on the bottom part, you'll see, he said, and this is prophecy he's telling you about. He's not telling you that this is happening right now. He said, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, which is Jesus Christ, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. And that's Jacob changed his name to Israel, and there's 12 tribes, and they all went, not all of them, but lots of them went after idols and had the old ways. Solomon himself did, brought into the temple, was supposed to be the wisest man, but did some dumb stuff. He brought in women, beautiful women, that had idol gods and brought them into the temple. None of those Jews are saved. Jew is a short name for Jacob, that tribe, for Judas, for the tribe of Judas. And that's because that's where Christ come from. So Israel, everybody in Israel is not a Jew. Only the tribe of Judah is the Jew. The others are all Hebrews. So everybody that's in Israel is not righteous. They're either just regular Hebrews, unrighteous, ungodly. Even in the Jewish tribe, a lot of Christ's own tribe of Judah, all of them weren't Christians. But that's prophecy what was to come when Christ got here to say that. That's not what's going on now. Because Jesus said, there's not one way. You got to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you ain't getting into heaven. So there ain't no back door. You can't climb up no back walls.
So you're saying only the members of the tribe of Judah will be saved?
No, I didn't say no. No, no, no.
You said they were Jews. I'm just saying
they were the Jews. But we studied in Corinthians and Ephesians and Colossians when Paul was telling, they're not all Jews. He said they're not all Israel. Yeah. And what he's saying, they're not sons of what Jacob was to begin with. And this is what he's saying about Jacob. He said, and should turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. He did. He come and offered them a perfect plan of salvation. They all didn't accept it.
Yeah.
They killed him. If everybody was going to get saved, why did all those people go to hell that locked themselves in the temple that Roman soldiers killed and drove them back and all? None of them accepted Jesus Christ. They was the one that crucified him.
So tell me again, who are these people, all of these people who are guaranteed to be saved?
Anybody except Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is guaranteed to be saved. Anybody that don't. But now there's in Christ, in Christianity, in Christianity, not in nationality, but in Christianity, regardless of what nationality they are. They accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're saved. If they don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're not saved. They can be as good, they can be super good people, but super good people, you can't go to heaven on just good intentions. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and
so
Savior.
So you're saying verse 26 says, so all of the Israelis who believe in Christ will be saved. That's what you're saying.
Sure. That comes out. That comes back. That's prophecy from Psalms 14, and it's also prophecy from Isaiah 59. That's what he's telling. This is way before the Messiah got here.
Yeah.
This is prophecy that's going to come hundreds of years before Christ was born.
Yeah.
Every Jew is not saved. Every Gentile is not saved.
So you're saying just the Jews who receive Christ, those are the Jews who will be saved.
Oh, absolutely.
All of those people will be saved.
Yeah, whatever nationality.
You said any nationality.
Any nationality, yeah.
Your mind says, and so all Israel will be saved as it is written.
Yeah, and that's how it was written. Yeah, Isaiah and Psalms.
Okay.
But Phil...
Okay. No, I'm just trying to figure it out.
No, I'm going to give you an example. I seen there was two rabbis on TV.
Yeah.
The one accepted Jesus Christ. He was in the Bible proving that the Bible was wrong and found out how right it was.
Yeah.
And found all the Old Testament scriptures pointing to the new, everything Jesus did.
Okay.
Well, if you talk to a Jew about Jesus Christ, he gets real mad.
Yeah.
Because you're telling him he misses Messiah. He said, well, what are you mad about Jesus for? Why do you get mad when you talk about Jesus? All he did was good. All he did was heal people. All he did was raise people from the dead. You know, all he did was fed the hungry 5,000 one time, 7,000 another time. You know, he just went about doing good because that's what the scripture said. And so, what were you mad at him for? And he said, well, he ain't my Messiah. And I've seen the one Jew that was a rabbi that found Christ. He gave all the scriptures that he could muster up that he used to teach that would be the Messiah and prove that Christ was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And the other Jew rabbi got so mad, he said, well, I'll tell you what, he'll never be my Messiah.
Yeah, that's on you, dude.
Well, where did he go?
The elevator went down.
Yeah. So that means that he didn't get saved. Like I said, all Israel should be saved. So it's prophesying that he's going to give all Israel the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ when he comes.
Right.
And that's prophesied in Psalm and Isaiah.
You should have told him, well, who is going to be your Messiah? That's what it says there, probably.
And he's going to wake up in hell.
Yeah.
That's going to be bad.
Yeah.
You said Jesus comes through the tribe of Judah?
Yeah.
And if we accept Jesus, who is a true Jew, we're true Jews.
Yeah. That's why it says we are the sons of Abraham. What's it, Galatians 3:29? That we had the blessings that was on Abraham. Abraham was really rich and said, well, if you accept Jesus Christ and you believe this by faith, that you got the same blessing opportunity to receive as Abraham. And you got the same right to get it like Abraham got it, work. But the Lord will bless your work.
Abraham was first millionaire, wasn't he? At that time.
Maybe, I would say Adam and Eve was the richest. Because
yeah.
They owned the planet.
Noah was the wisest person with his money. He floated his assets while the world was in liquidation.
Yeah. That's called getting on a boat.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, and after everybody left, guess what? He owned everything.
Yeah. And you know, when he landed, he didn't know where he was. Because he said, it's on a mountain. Where you at?
His GPS was down, everything, you know?
Yeah. You know what kind of light they had? Noah had a light on that boat. There's a lot of people that know that. But he had light on that boat. You know what kind of light he had on that? Floodlight.
See what I mean, David?
Where else are you going to get wisdom like this?
Yeah.
I tell
yeah.
you what.
Now, I'm not adding that to the Bible. Because the Bible said, don't you dare do that.
That's Dave's words.
Yeah.
His philosophy.
That's Hazelville wisdom.
That's Hazelville wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay, Pete, 27 through 30, please.
For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And that's also goes back to Isaiah and Jeremiah for the prophecy of this scripture that Paul's teaching on this prophecy. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. And when he said the elected, that's talking about the Jews. For the gift and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief.
Okay. And the mercy that they're receiving is the ability to receive Christ. That's the mercy that Christ is showing on them is the fact that he hasn't wiped them from the earth, even though they've done all this bad stuff.
Yeah. And the right? Gentiles are showing the Jews mercy.
Yeah.
It ought to be the Jews showing the Gentiles mercy
now.
And these are also, now Paul's writing this to Rome, Roman Christians.
Yeah.
And to people right inside of Caesar's palace there, the Christian. And he's writing that to them. He's got a mix of Jews there, Roman citizens there. He's got Greeks there. Because Roman Empire took over all these countries on the way down to...
All the Middle East, they had control over it.
Yeah.
North Africa.
The known world.
Yeah.
So they had all that control. But they had represented this from every nation there that they had taken. You know, like when Paul had a dual citizenship,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he was wrong because of what we talked about a month ago maybe when they took over his country, they said, yeah, you can take our country. we can either give it to you, you can kill us all and take it. You know, so we'll just give it to you. I said, okay, now you got a citizenship with us. He said, all they knew and all these people, Paul had the liberty to write to them people because he was a Roman.
Yeah. The other was from Tarsus.
Yep.
Yep.
Old Saul Tarsus.
Yep. Okay.
That's where that carpet was.
And that brings us, Mark.
I think that's where that carpet was. I want to tell her about one time.
From Tarsus?
Yeah. The blind man. You remember him, right? The story about the blind carpenter?
The blind carpenter?
Yeah.
No.
He picked up a hammer and saw.
Yeah. He picked up a what?
A hammer and saw.
Boom, boom.
What are we going to do with you, Bill?
I don't know.
That's right, because Ronnie remembered it.
Okay. That took us to 30. Okay, Loie, 31 through 35, please.
Even so, these also have known the disobedient that through the mercy showed you that they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him?
Do one more.
For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Okay. So in 31 it says, and so they also now are being disobedient. When you are receiving mercy, that they in turn may one day, through the mercy you are enjoying, also receive mercy, that they may share the mercy which has been shown to you through you as messengers of the gospel to them. So, he's delivered the message to the Jews. The Jews rejected it. He delivered the message to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and they received it. And now he's using the Gentiles who have received it to minister back to the Jews in an attempt to still draw them into salvation.
Yeah. I mean, Paul had Timothy and a lot of other people helping him, Jews and Gentiles alike, and they're ministering back to the Jews, because a lot of synagogues that the Apostle Paul went into, those priests got saved, but a lot of those synagogues also had Gentiles in them, and then they started preaching the Word of God, and they just filled it up with a mixed congregation.
Yeah.
And that's what they was going after.
Yeah.
That's when you all become the seed of Abraham.
Yeah. Okay, verse 32, it says, for God has consigned or penned up all men to disobedience, only that he may have mercy on them all alike. Oh, the depth of the riches of in wisdom and knowledge of God. How unfathomable, unscrutable, unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions, and how untraceable, mysterious and undiscoverable are his ways, his methods and his paths. In other words, he's really going to huge lengths that nobody else would even conceive of, trying to get everybody saved, both Jews and Gentiles.
Right.
And that includes, even after all these years of disobedience from the Jews, he's still trying to draw them in. Right? And most people would have just thrown their hands up and said, okay, you had your turn. You know, many entity on you.
Yeah.
But that not God. God's still trying to draw them in. Even upon the cross, you see this again on the cross, where the robbers were on the cross, and salvation, Christ offered salvation to both of them on the cross, nailed on the cross, and one took it and one didn't.
Right.
You know? So right up until the day you die, salvation is offered to you to receive it. But it's on you to actually receive it.
And they were both likely Jews.
Yes, most likely. Yeah.
So when I said that, to remind you that scripture up there, as it is written, he said that all Israel is going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
The one didn't get saved.
Yeah.
Judas didn't get saved.
Yeah.
Judas got saved and he backslid. They don't go to heaven if you're not saved.
That's it. 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has understood his thoughts, or who has ever been his counselor? And who's the counselor? Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Or who has first given God anything that he might be paid back, or that he could claim a recompense? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. For all things originate with him, and come from him, and all things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate to the end in him. To him be glory forever. Amen. So, there's no getting to salvation without God, without Christ, right? And everything comes from him, and everything goes back to him.
He made everything.
So, no matter how righteous you think you are, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how wise you think you are, or whatever, you're nothing without Christ, because Christ opens the door for salvation to those who don't believe. Right? But you have to receive it.
No, I was thinking of something when you said after all these years, God is still trying to draw them.
Yeah.
Well, he made promises to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
That's right.
And he keeps his promises.
Yep. After all those years.
He's never had a broken promise.
That's it. Okay, and now we're down on Romans 12, verses 1 through 5, Earl.
I beseech you, therefore, presenting by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he might ought to think, but to think soberly to God as dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we are being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another.
Okay. So, in Romans 12, verse 1, it says, "And I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decision dedicated, a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members in faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship." So he's saying, don't hold back anything. When you give your heart to Christ, you should be all in, right? So many of us say, it's Tuesday, this is my night to whatever, right? And I'm not going to do anything for Christ tonight because I want to go do something else. And, I only lied a little lie, and I only did this little thing here, right? And what he's saying is, don't give any room to the devil. Because all of those things where you sort of give in to temptation are all places where the devil can attack you. So he's saying, just clean yourself. Just make it, decision, a quality decision to say, you know what, I'm a Christian and I'm going to live a Christian life, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to wash away everything that's not right and it's not pleasing to God. And then I will really walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
But yeah, if you belong to a bowling league,
okay,
and let's just say Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6 they bowl.
Yeah.
When you go bowling, you should still be a good example of a Christian.
Yeah.
If you don't go to church Sunday night because you was bowling and didn't get there, that don't mean you're not a Christian, but it does mean that while you're bowling, you should be a great example for Christ, just like you should be if you're at work, or if you're shopping, or if you're vacation. You should still be a great example. You can still bless people. Yeah. And you can talk about that little black girl that found your dollar bill.
Oh, I was in Redmond, and I was at the register paying for my groceries, and there was a girl tapping me on the shoulder because I pulled my money out to pay the cashier, and I realized I dropped money.
Mm-hmm.
So she picked up and said, "This is yours. Mm-hmm. Did you drop it?" And I told her, "Thank you." And I just turned right around and I gave her a dollar back. And I said, "This is for being honest." And then the cashier says, "See how good the results are when you're being honest?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I told Pia, I said, "You know, it don't bother me to give, you know, children or anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you do it out of the goodness of your heart. You don't do it because
yeah.
you have to
yeah.
or they you owe you do something. But to be an example to that child, to reward her from doing something that is right."
That's right.
And her father was standing there, and the other sister was standing there, and they look at you like,
"What planet did you just arrive from?"
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it makes you feel good to see that.
But her father probably don't understand it.
No.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of a story. I was in a grocery store, I think it was Walmart, and there was a woman in front of me. And I had my stuff on the counter, and I pulled my wallet out, and she had just checked out. And I pulled my wallet out, and when I pulled because I knew how much I wanted to buy, when I pulled my money out, $10 fell on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, it lay there. I was trying to put my money back in the wallet. Well, I went to pick it up. She reached down and grabbed that $10 bill and took off and ran out the door. And the cash register looked at me and everything, and I said, So. I told the woman, I said, "Don't worry about it." So I went and paid, and she left a big old green bag with a bunch of stuff in it. And then the woman, the cashier, said, "What are we going to do with that?" I said, "I'll take it." So I took the bag and went on home with it.
Oh, man. She left her groceries.
No, it wasn't groceries. It's a big bag. Of,
oh.
Yeah, stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't that
something? Yeah.
Did you get $10 for her?
Aren't you going to ask me what was in the bag?
What was in the bag?
A bunch of boulders, like I'm telling you.
He gets there and he's waiting. I was looking at him. He said,
Hey, you got to have, even in Bible study, you got to have a little humor.
That's it. That's it.
You get a little bold Bible study as well.
I was waiting for one of you to say, "Well, what was in the bag?"
No, I wouldn't dare.
Most people would say, What was in the bag? That's what
you're saying. I tried to get them to say, I said, "Did you get your $10 worth?" And they're still up.
Yeah.
And they're all standing there locked in on film. You want
to
ask me?
I was thinking Phil would be one to ask,
you locked
what was in the bag?
Oh, well.
And he won't tell a story. I mean, he won't lie. Maybe. He says so in front of his car. Barbers don't lie. They just tell stories.
So, let's see. We read verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external and superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that in your mind's renewed by the word, right, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." Wow. So once again, we're back to living a proper life. You know, I was thinking. You were talking about your bullying example there. Well, when you go out bowling or playing baseball or whatever, you have to play by the rules, right? They there's a set of rules.
You know,
you can't throw the bowling ball overhand, right? They don't like you sticking the ball in the ceiling, right? All it is, there's lots of rules.
Every game's got rules.
That's right. So, but you abide by those rules, but God sets rules. And people have a tendency to want to ignore a lot of those rules, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when you're bowling and you don't play by the rules, somebody complains about it, you get in trouble, right? And sometimes you lose points or whatever, right? Well, now, there's going to come a day when you're going to have to give account of what you've done with God's rules.
Yeah. Oh, when you go to heaven, you're going to go by the rules. And you go to hell, you're going to go by the rules.
Yeah.
One of those is going to have lordship over you.
That's right.
And you ain't in charge.
What are the rules in hell?
That Satan's the boss. And to torment you, the Bible says he'll torment you day and night.
Forever. No end. That's a lot of torment. Mm.
It's almost like being married, isn't it?
You're true.
Hey, no thumb on that, man.
Now you know why you want to go to heaven.
Yeah, that's a good reason you want to go to heaven. I remember that one. That's good.
You have to tell Clarence that. That's why you go to Bible study.
So verse 3, and it says, "For by the grace, the unmerited favor of God, given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. For as in one physical body we have many parts, all organs and everything else, and all of these parts do not have the same function in use. So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah, and individually, we are parts one of another, mutually dependent one on another." Right? So, we each have our own importance in what we do,
right,
and how we do it. And God calls on each one of us to do the things that he wants us to do, but also we interact with each other to support each other and help lift each other up. Right? So that everybody gets their needs met and everybody uses their ability to the fullness of what they can do. Now, that doesn't mean that we all have the same abilities.
No.
Because everybody has a different thing to do in Christ. So just simply because somebody's called to be a pastor doesn't mean that you're called to be a pastor. It doesn't mean that you're called to be a youth leader or help in the church or whatever. Don't judge what you're supposed to do based on what somebody else does. God has a special plan for you individually for what you're supposed to do. And that's the plan you're supposed to follow.
That's
right.
Right? Right. Hey, he's the one that makes the law. He's the one that died for you.
That's it. But that also requires that you have an understanding and an ability to listen to what God's telling you, so that you can fulfill your fullness in Christ. Right? And how can you do that if you're not in the Word? See, a lot of people say, well, I don't understand how God's talking to me, or, you know, when God's telling me to do stuff, but I don't understand, you know, and I don't understand the leading of God because I never seem to hear Him talk to me or whatever. And my response is that you need more time in the Word, and you need to listen to God, and you need to seek God. Because you only get answers from God when you seek Him. And that doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, hey, God, you know, I need to know about whatever, and I need it right now.
Yeah, don't work that way.
Don't work that way. Because you need patience with God, and in His time, and in His opportunity, He will give you an answer. But Satan is the author of confusion. And one of the places where you see Satan attack people is that, oh, you know, I've got an opportunity to have a good deal on whatever, you know, but I need to know right now, and see, they concoct prayers that are laid out so that they get the answer they want, right? So God, I need to know about buying this car, and it has all of these things that I like, and I need to know it now. And if you don't tell me now, I'm going to take it that it's a yes, and I'm going to go buy my car.
Mine's made up,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, you program.
Guess who loses?
Guess who loses? Right?
Oh, well, God speaks. You know when God speaks to you, because I it's hard to explain sometimes how He puts those. You know, when He's talking to you.
Yeah.
And then you think, okay, Lord, I better do that. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, here's an example. Like yesterday, I was telling Pete. I says, the Lord told me when I take Kyle home, go check his dryer vent. So I said that. You know, outside job dryer bit.
Yep.
So I took it apart and reached my hand in and I was pulling all this crap out of it. You know how dryer bit gets. So when Brian came over for dinner the other night, I said, Brian, the Lord told me to clean your dryer bit. I said, I don't know why, but he told me it was all filled with lint.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you run a dryer, you can't catch a house on fire.
When did you get this message?
The other day.
As you was going?
No, I was sitting in the kitchen.
So you were sitting in the kitchen?
Yeah.
And it just come up?
Yeah, just come up, and then I says, and I took Kyle home, I says,
it caused a fire.
Why he go fetch a dog?
It caused a fire.
Oh, yeah, that's very dangerous.
Yeah.
That's one
of the biggest causes.
Well, see, they build these houses now. They get houses, and they'll put a dryer like it over here and run that vent halfway across the room.
It just builds up.
And it's terrible. There's no way you can get it cleaned out. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's an example. That's the only way I can explain it. I didn't ask the Lord to tell me to quit. He just told me to do it.
But you're open. You're open. You spend time in the Word, and you listen to the voice of God because you seek God honestly, continually. Right?
Right.
See, a person who says, I need to know about buying this car, and says, well, if you don't answer me in the next 2 minutes, you know, I'll take it that the answer is yes. See, that person's already made up their mind. They want to buy that car.
Well, I'll give you an example on that. When I bought Pee Wee's pickup truck for it, right? We look out there and it says something like 19-20 miles highway.
Yeah.
Well, right after we bought it, we took it to Baltimore to a funeral at 21 miles a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
And the cab and all that, 350 engine. Went to get a cap up for it. And so when I ordered a cab, there's a guy up there. We bought that truck because it's what we. I tell people, you go shop. I'm not going shopping.
Well, first thing we always
get an agreement.
We get an agreement. I always ask the Lord to show me the correct truck to buy.
Right.
I don't go by look. I go.
Yeah.
But the Lord will show.
But he gave you a good looking one too.
Because he wanted a black truck. I said,
but
well, you show me.
But anyway, when he did that, we got the truck that got 21 miles a gallon on the road.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to get the cab, there was a guy there that he bought a new truck the same time we did. And he was getting a cab for his. And man, I'm telling you, he sounded like Satan himself. He was cussing GD this and everything. It was blank, blank this and all. And so I didn't want to hear him, but there wasn't no place for me to get away from him. So I said, what's the matter with your truck? That's a beautiful truck. Well, he bought it because it was beautiful. It was a Silverado. It was a sports model. It had a console in it, you know, in the middle of the bucket seats. And everything that you could have on it, he had on there. But he had a tow package. Tow package means you got a low rear.
Mm-hmm.
And he was getting like 11 miles a gallon on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And like 7 or 8 around town.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah, a brand new truck. And he's cussing. I said, dude, it's simple to fix. Go back up there and tell you to put this rear in. So didn't you read your tag? Didn't you ask him anything about it? He bought for looks. He didn't ask the Lord or nothing. I know why he didn't ask the Lord. Him and the Lord wasn't on the speaking terms. Not the way he was talking.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You ask the Lord when you purchase something and you're going to make a purchase, you want to talk to the Lord about it. And he wants serious. You to. He's your daddy. Yeah. Jesus says, I'm a father.
And he wants you to be serious about waiting on his answer.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in a hurry, that's the devil trying to force you into doing something.
That's right.
Suck you in. He's one of those telemarketers, in other ways.
That's right.
But, I mean, if you trust God and God says you're right, like that big girl now, she's what, 23, 24 years old?
Well, it's a 9. It's 23, but it'll be 24 at the end of October.
Yeah.
What's that?
My truck.
Baby's big up.
24 years?
Wow. She's a good truck. She's
got one enough and doesn't, Peewee.
It's still a Earl's still a brand new.
Yeah.
This is a good truck.
Garage cap. And if you look at that, pick the hood up, look at the engine, it still looks brand new.
Hmm. Well, you got to take care of it.
Oh, yeah.
I just bought my wife a new car. I let her go pick today. I showed Pete today, the other day. I told her, I said, this is probably the last one we buy. And we looked at several, and I told her, I'm going to let you do the deal with your car. I went with her. And she's been a pretty good deal because we went online and I got. I knew what mileage
was. The cost was.
Yeah. And she tickled me. But he came with the first figure. She told him, look, I don't want you to come going back and forth. And
give me a price.
Yeah, give me I want the price. I want your best offer first. Well, they come on this. They were $3,000 under what was online, Kelly Blue Book. And my wife goes like this. She got a temper. She goes, you are insulting me. Give me my keys. And then the manager came. And she said, give me my keys. And I'm sitting there, I'm not saying anything. And she says, there's nothing wrong with this car. I can drive it 2 more years.
She can drive the rest of her life.
Yeah. And so finally, he says, well, what do you want for your car? And she said, I want what it says on Kelly Blue Book, what you go by, it's a book you go by, that's what I want. He said, okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
but they want to see
you don't get.
Yeah.
No, he's going to make another $3,000 off from you.
She said, give me the keys. And I started to get up. I said, yep, let's go, hon. And I started to get up.
And he said, no, we need your cars aren't selling.
Oh, yeah, cars are going to get shape. You know, and I told him, I says, I bought this car here, be serviced every time. We had 6 years. It's been serviced here.
She said, all the time.
All the time. I said, and it's just like me. It runs good. You know. But she tickled me.
Well, that's what they need to hear. Because they play on what you don't know.
Yeah, well.
And also,
I'm totally prepared when I go.
Oh, yeah. Thing. Well, you know cars.
Yeah.
But Satan also plays on what you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll jab you.
Yeah. You know, I'll jab him right back from that.
That's right.
Well, Phil was just saying about the body. Everybody has their own function.
Yeah,
their specialty.
That's right.
Well, the other day I was praying and talking to the Lord, and I was saying things like, boy, I wish I was like this person. I got such a good memory. And this person, because of something else.
You got hair.
Well, by the time I got done wanting to be like somebody else.
Lord said, I've already got some people.
Well, the Lord started talking to me about me. By the time he got done with me, I apologized for everything I said. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be anybody but me that I can worship you the way that I worship you, not the way other people worship. And I'll tell you, it's funny, like he was saying, when does the Lord talk to you?
Yeah.
You know.
You know, when
you know, because it's your knower knows. It's down inside of you.
Yeah, it's just like somebody's just talking to you, like this, and you're talking.
Yeah.
And you just have to pay attention and listen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like these young upstarts that come out of Bible college and going to be a preacher. They say, oh, I'm going to be another Billy Graham. I want to be another Earl Roberts. I want to be another, you know, somebody else or somebody else. Versus, I don't need another one of them. I got one of them.
Just be yourself.
I made you. I made them. I don't
love you.
Yeah. He made you who you were. Can you imagine if he made you to Iraq? If you don't think the Lord's good to you the way you are, just think, You could have been born in Iraq. You could have been born in South Africa or someplace.
I thank him for that too.
Oh yeah.
I thank him for every day just being here.
Yeah.
Really.
Why don't we close with prayer? Pete, why don't you close with some prayer? Invite somebody to receive Christ.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and that we can come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, and for what he's done for us, that by his stripes we're healed. Lord, by his precious blood, salvation is here for whosoever will. Father, we thank you that anyone that will hear this conversation through the CD or online, wherever, Lord, that they will receive you, that you'll prick their hearts, Lord, that it will make them want to turn away from evil unto righteousness, that they'll want to do what you want to do to bless your holy name, that they'll lift up your holy name, Lord, that you will lift them up in return, Lord, that as they bless you, you will bless them through your glorious word, the truth, that they'll find out, Lord, that your way is the true way, the only way, and it should be the desires of our hearts to be ever pleasing unto you, doing your will. That we will teach and walk in and be the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the Bible study, and we thank you for everyone here continuously coming and growing and learning in you. To your glory, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.